Anything you missed from today's Big Breakfast is in the Catch Up podcast on the Listener app. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Pick up a fragrance for a loved one this Christmas from Chemist Warehouse, the real house of fragrance.
Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30.
All very excited for, Bathurst this weekend. I know this is all about what happened on the show today, but Dick Johnson is going to be on the show on Friday. So,
incredible.
Catch up with Dick.
You're doing that to be funny. You're trying to be funny?
No.
Because Margot's.
I'm not indulging your immaturity,
yeah, exactly.
Jamie.
No, I was actually saying we're just catching up with Dick Johnson.
And he's,
No, nothing like that.
I love Dick. Mm.
Come on, can we raise the tone around here? Fair dinkum. When I'm the classy one, there's something wrong.
Is his real name Richard or is it actually Dick?
Gee, it's going to be a good interview. I'd be listening tomorrow if I was you. What's your real name? Stop it.
All right. Well, that's tomorrow. Let's not worry about tomorrow. Let's worry about what happened on the show today.
Yeah,
and it was a fun show, actually. We learnt lots. Mardo almost nearly died.
When's the last time you got bitten by two spiders in 1 week?
Well, I think that's just a Mardo thing. I don't think it's ever happened to anyone in the history of the world.
It's a first. Mm. Record-breaking.
All right. Yeah.
We'll ask Dick Johnson,
When did you get bit by a snake? Oh, you didn't. That's right.
I've never been bitten by a snake.
I didn't think. Yeah.
I don't like snakes. Did you see that one... Oh, no, I probably should leave this for the show. No, I'll do it. Yeah. Burp and Gary somewhere, someone took a photo and said, what sort of snake's this? And the local snake handler, you know, he's gone, holy hell, it's an illegal snake from South America and it's pregnant, he identified. It could punch out 30 little snakes. So therefore it's escaped from somebody's... Has the music stopped? We need to stop talking.
Well, let's.
But there could be a new type of snake loose on the north side of Brisbane.
Be on the lookout.
See, where's that in the news?
Catch up podcast. The
snake.
Big Breakfast at Triple M.
Everyone loves talking snakes. I know what it's like to be living through fear for quite a number of days. I think I'm in the clear now, though, health-wise. I could have died on the weekend.
What happened?
Well, you know that I told you I got that new bush-bashing, beach-bashing car, the Triton.
The Mitsubishi Triton.
The 2006 Triton Ute, picked it up cheap. When police stopped me, they'd probably say we'd like you to help us with some inquiries because that's the sort of...
This is your Morton Island car, yes, because yeah. The Suzuki Jimny, it died, crapped itself.
I'll leave it over there. Anyway, so first time I'd really driven it, late Friday afternoon, driving Kath's in the passenger seat, completely embarrassed at the car we're driving around in, okay? And she goes, what was that? From the visor, I'd spider dropped down through my legs, okay, and then I could feel it. And I'm driving, I couldn't pull over. I'm feeling.
It's the most action you'd had in weeks.
Yeah, righto. It was down in my ankles by this stage.
Okay, sorry.
All right. It was like a little needle, bing, on the little toe of my left foot. I went, you bugger. Got it, squished it, didn't look at it because I'm still driving, watching the road. I had bare feet, didn't have any thongs on or anything. Went, squished it, picked it up, went, yeah, that's the last we'll hear of that. Didn't think any more of it, okay?
Yeah.
Wake up Saturday morning,
okay.
Foot swollen.
Right.
Jeez.
I opened the Courier Mail online and look, and it was that story about the Clontarf dad of three. Here you go. The bite from a white-tailed spider was so small that Stephen Craker didn't even know it had happened, but 9 surgeries and 3 weeks later, his leg had to be amputated.
I love that Mardo, after being bitten by a spider, wakes up with a swollen foot the next morning and goes straight to the Courier Mail.
That's what I do in the mornings. I read the paper. I put my leg up and go, oh, I must have had a few too many drinks, and that happens sometimes with my left leg. But then I went, that's right. I read that. Then I read that, and then what happened to me when I came in on Monday? I haven't mentioned this because I've been living in a little bit of fear.
I don't know. I wasn't here. You would have told Liesl.
Oh, God, yeah. No, I didn't.
But what happened?
Look at here. I walked through our little front yard on the push bike, okay? Walked through a spider web. It got wrapped.
Another one.
Yeah. Bit me in the groin. I've had two spider bites.
Have you checked to see if you can spray any webs out of your fists yet, like Spider-Man? Didn't Peter Parker get bit by a spider and turn into Spider-Man?
All right, I'm taking this quite seriously because I'm bringing this back.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Do it again in case people haven't heard
it. Is this like my, I'm in Peel Island in a few big waves in a little boat and I nearly died? Are you being a bit dramatic, Mardo?
He almost nearly died. Come on.
No, that's two spider bites. Did you not listen when I told you about the leg amputation? This is the almost nearly died spider and snake bite edition.
What's the snake? Where did that come from?
Well, it's just like it's another way of dying.
So you didn't get bit by a snake?
No. But I thought I'd include it.
Okay. Did you see a snake?
No.
No, okay.
Not yet. So it's spiders and snakes.
And snakes. Spider and snake edition.
Why don't you throw in cockroaches and mice too, Marto?
Okay. Well, they don't kill you.
Oh, sorry, don't be ridiculous.
When's the last time someone died at the hands of a mouse?
Brad from Wynnum, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing?
Yeah, hey, Brad. What? Did you hear Marto's very sad tale about being bitten by a spider?
It's about Brad.
I did.
Yeah. Have you got a real spider bite story, Brad?
Yeah, well, actually, it was two spider bites within the 1 week. I used to work at Kingston Park Raceway as a track marshal. And
oh, you guys are good, someone, yeah.
Yeah, and after someone crashed into the tyre barrier, we had to fix them up. And, yeah, those tyre barriers were full of redbacks.
Where did it get you on the wrist?
Yeah, got me just on the wrist, just above where my thumb was. And I got bitten twice in 1 week. And, yeah, it was...
What happens, painful. Brad, when you get bit by a redback spider?
Bitten. Well, you get a bit dizzy and really sick, and it feels like there's a flame underneath, like someone burning a flame underneath the bite there, and yeah, you get pretty dizzy and sick.
Did you have to go to the hospital and get like an anti-venom? What is it?
Yes, I did, yeah. I had to go get a couple of injections to stop the nausea and stop the reverse of the pain as well, like for the venom.
If you didn't get the anti-venom, what would happen? Would you actually really die?
Not too sure, but I'm guessing from two spider bites within a couple of days of each other, I think something might have happened. But yeah, other than that, I'm not too sure if I would have died. But
do you ever Google, Brad? There are people die of redback spider bites, don't they?
I'm not too sure, actually, to be honest with you.
The amount of rum that was in Marto's system, I think he would have killed the spider, Brad.
That's nonsense. The spider bit me. You and Brad can have a good old laugh. Hey. The spider bit me before there was any of that.
Brad, we're going to send you up to see the heat at the Big Bash, all right? Just check under the seat before you sit down, all right?
Thanks.
Awesome. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Brad. Linda. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Margot.
Linda, are you...
Before we get to Linda, fatalities are extremely unlikely, but in 2016, the death of a bushwalker from a redback spider bite was widely reported.
You didn't get bitten by a redback, though. You got bitten by what, like a daddy long legs or something?
Something like that. Apart from that, there have been no deaths due to redback bites since the introduction of anti-venom, which is why I introduced the snake to this conversation.
Well, Marto introduced the snake, Linda. Was it a snake or a spider that got you?
Well, I have been bitten by a redback, but that's a different story, and Jesus. I didn't get anti-venin, and I did survive, but gee, it hurt.
Oh, you're a miracle.
Well, tell us both stories, Linda. So there was the redback and a snake as well.
Yes, but it's a snake and a huntsman, this story. I used to live in central Queensland, and we'd have a lot of snakes come in, and we're quite calm around them. In fact, I actually like snakes. And we were going to have lunch out on the deck, so I'm carrying the meals out to the deck, and a green snake has come inside the house. We nicknamed her Samantha.
Oh, that's all right.
And yeah, that's right. So I've picked up Samantha, and I've put her outside onto the tree that's right next to the deck.
Right.
And we've watched her travel along the tree, up along the beam, and we had a natural didgeridoo that was hollowed out by ants.
Yeah.
And frogs used to live inside. So Samantha's come up behind that, and I thought, oh, this will be a ripper photo.
Yeah.
So I stood in front of the didgeridoo hoping to catch a flying frog, but I got a big huntsman land on my neck.
Oh.
And, you know, huntsmen are fine, but what has happened, I've gone and actually just gone and swiped it, and so the huntsman has bitten me, and right on the jugular thing, and I thought, hello.
Vampire.
This might be a bit tricky, and we were 46 kilometres out of town.
Yeah.
So I rang the ambulance, and I asked them, and they weren't sure, so they hooked me through to poisons information, and they told me, no, it's only the funnel web and redback that you really got to worry about in Australia. But as a little handy hint to anyone, if you do get bitten by a spider, always disinfect the area.
What, with like Dettol or something, Linda?
With whatever you can get, you know, it was
metho.
Soap and water, metho, Dettol, hand cleaner. But that's when you get bitten by a spider, that's when the bacteria gets into the wound and can cause things like leg amputation.
Whoa, incredible.
Jesus.
You could have saved somebody's life by this chat this morning, Linda.
Well, possibly, or their leg or toe.
I mean,
or their life.
Or their life.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call.
Thankful to Linda.
Thank you.
And to David.
Big breakfast to Triple M. Holly Breen.
His humour ain't clean. With his handlebar moustache, he looks mean. It's Harley Breen.
Ahoy! How are you, Harles?
I'm pretty good. I tell you what, we're going to have to update that jingle because the moustache has turned into a full-face beard.
Full-face beard, Harley. What's going on down there in Melbourne?
I'm just growing my own face mask because I figure I'll never be able to take them off.
Can Omicron get through the bearded warrior?
It seems to be getting through everything else. Look, it's a good time down here because today is grade 5 school camp.
Is that a 2 or 3 day camp when they're in grade 5?
Yeah, that means 3 days of me having not quite 3,000 children. And it is, I tell you what, we were geared up for it. We're fired up. We're having a party here at the house. Got my kid all packed up last night with all of the special things to take away on camp. And then 10 minutes after we finished packing the bag, notification from the school, camp's been cancelled.
Oh, no. Who was more disappointed, you or the kid?
Oh, definitely me.
Now, I know you're a loose unit. Did you throw fireworks and chocolates in that bag?
Yeah, mate. That was the bag I'm taking away, though. Because although grade 5 camp has been cancelled, Dad is going away for 3 days. Don't care what happens. It hasn't been all bad here, though. We did have we managed to have a street party. Within a moment of being there, though, I was sugar-shamed for not allowing my 4-year-old to have a Bundaberg ginger beer, which I know is sacrilege. I grew up in Bundaberg. I went to school across the road from the Bundaberg ginger beer factory. However, 4-year-olds probably shouldn't be drinking a full bottle of Bundaberg ginger beer at 5:30 in the evening. This lady was like, oh, it's a Christmas party. Come on, surely for Christmas. I'm like, oh, yeah, no, that changes things. That'll make him go to sleep then. I quickly ushered my kids off as quick as I could. I think the last time I looked at Walter, it was about 8 o'clock at night and he was eating a Paddle Pop. So that didn't go well.
Which equally has probably just as much sugar, if not more, than the ginger beer.
That's correct. I was having a few sherbets myself. And I managed to get all 3 children in bed by about 10 o'clock, which is very late in this house.
Yeah.
And then I was also asleep, but didn't quite make it to bed because at about 4 o'clock in the morning, my wife had her hands on my knees, nothing untoward happening, just going, Harley, what are you doing? And I was asleep on the back steps. So
on the steps, that's spectacular.
That's not comfortable.
That's a real dad thing to do, isn't it? Just go, well, I'll sit here and sleep for a while. Get it in while I can.
Now, you didn't have any of the other Bundaberg product, does that mean?
The Bundaberg rum.
No, I chose to stay away from Bundaberg rum because I didn't want to punch my mate in the face.
Yeah.
So, but, you look, eventually I'll get out of this den of inequity that is Melbourne, and get up there to sunny, good old Queensland that seems to not even know that COVID exists.
Well, when you said you joined a bit of a street party, I thought you meant you must have fell out onto the street and been in and amongst the hundreds of thousands of protesters over the weekend.
Well, it just doesn't stop.
That
I
was a
in
big
town
street
just
party.
Yesterday. Yeah, they were having a great time, weren't they? They're still there. They were there last night. I was doing a gig just down from them. They're still there.
And what
I find amazing is I'm like, hey, do you know how everybody else just doesn't give a shit? But they're like, no, I'm committed to this. Yeah. Like, no, whatever trips your trigger, champ.
Did I see that protest the other day down in Melbourne? So they did their march. And then a heap of them just went back and sat on the steps in front of Parliament House, said, I'm back.
We're not moving.
Yeah, they're weird.
Well, you know, it's actually when you walk through the city, sometimes you can get caught up in that protest, but they're very easy to get away from. You just walk into a licensed premises.
Cheers, mate.
Good on you guys.
Cheers, have Harley. If I were on my deathbed, Marto, and somebody said to me, what would your last meal be? To me, it would be something of the Italian cuisine because I do love a bit of pizza and pasta. And I'm not talking about the pizza and pasta that we have here. I'm talking about real traditional pizza because if you've been to Italy, you know that the pizzas
square
over there are very different to the pizzas that we make here. They don't have a lot of cheese on them. And if it is, it's normally a bocconcini or a mozzarella. There's no cheddar sprinkled all over the top, covering all of the good things. There's some rocket and some prosciutto on there. And they're beautiful. The bases, it's all dome, handmade dough and wood fired, and they're delicious. You lived in Italy, Marto.
But they're square, they're not round.
Are they?
Yeah. Oh. There's no such thing as a round pizza in Italy.
Mm. They're incredible.
Don't do them.
Incredible. Okay. Mm. And when you're in Italy, of course, you'd want to eat beautiful Italian food, you know, pastas and pizzas.
Why are we talking about this at breakfast?
Well, though? Because... are you hungry? Mm. I'm talking about it because McDonald's, whom we also love, and, you know, sneaky cheeseburger, I'd probably squeeze one of them in before I died as well, Marty. And I love a sneaky cheesy.
How many last meals are you having again?
A couple by the sound.
Well, an entree, main and dessert. Yeah, I'm sure I could sneak in a few things. But McDonald's, Italy, Rome in particular, Roma, are trying to ban McDonald's going in at another location in Rome because they're wanting to put a McDonald's fast food chain right next door to the Baths of Caracalla.
Jesus, what? I don't even know that.
I don't even know what that is either.
I've been to McDonald's at the Spanish Steps, one of the most famous meeting places in Rome. I used to live just 70 k's out of Rome for a few years. And you used to go down there. It was such comfort food. You can eventually get sick of eating pasta all the bloody time.
You can, Marto. And I know I've been fortunate enough to do a bit of travel. I've been to the McDonald's in Noumea, of all places.
In Noumea,
in New Caledonia.
Do they do anything special there?
We stopped in there on a cruise ship when I was with a couple of girlfriends. Hold on. We went on a bit of a cruise.
You got off the buffet at the cruise ship and went into Noumea, or what is it? Whatever that
Noumea.
Noumea, the town, and went to the McDonald's.
Yes.
Interesting.
We did. Well, it was the only restaurant where we could understand the food on the menu because everything was in French.
Yeah, okay.
And, you know, we were very uncultured girls, you know, 20 years ago cruising at the tender age of 19. And so McDonald's was a familiar taste, it's a familiar smell, and no matter where you are in the world, and they have literally McDonald's, I don't know how many, this is not an ad for Macca's.
36,000 restaurants in more than 100 countries.
There is like 10 of them on the Champs-Élysées in Paris, they're everywhere, they're at the Trevi Fountain and the Spanish Steps in Rome, Marta. Like, there's Macca's everywhere.
I had Macca's one day coming back from a surf in Bali one morning.
Yeah, Bali.
Jesus, hold on, how good's this?
Well, but I think the thing is because, you know, when you go to other countries, you eat all of their food and a lot of it is cultural or traditional and you get sick and our tummies aren't used to eating it, and that's why you end up with things like Bali belly. Mm. And sometimes you just need a cheeseburger or a Big Mac to get you through, just to feel, like you said, it's comfort food that makes you feel like home. But
have you seen this? There's a thing
everywhere. There's a McDonald's.
Listen to this. There's a kiwi burger. Is this where you're going? They put beetroot and an egg on their burgers. It's a kiwi burger, but egg and beetroot together.
Beetroot's Australian for
delicious.
A start.
Is it?
That's like a works burger. That's like the lot. A burger with the lot. Pineapple. Do they throw a bit of that on there?
Doesn't say. Jesus, but they're saying in India because they don't eat beef. How do you reckon McDonald's goes? They said they've got to do pretend beef.
Pretend
think of that. No.
Thailand, they do a yellow chicken curry burger.
No, they don't.
Really? 133353, I want to know, what variation of McDonald's have you had in what part of the world? What was on their menu that differed from the
curry
normal Angus? Like,
chicken.
We've got the Angus beef burger because we are synonymous here with beef and cattle. It's, you know, one of our biggest exports.
Here it is. India's Maharaja Mac is the Big Mac's not too distant cousin.
Like, I wonder if in the South Pacific Islands, like Tahiti or Samoa or Tonga, do they do dugong or turtle?
Oh, I'm not sure.
On the menu. I'm not sure. Taro chips instead of French fries, perhaps?
Well, let's find out. 133353.
What variation of Macca's have you had? Where in the world have you eaten Macca's? Because they're everywhere. Rose from Bean Lee, good morning.
Morning.
Which McDonald's did you visit and what was so interesting about their menu?
In Bosnia.
Bosnia?
They had crumbed prawns.
Oh, yeah.
And stuffed olives that were crumbed and deep fried.
Jesus, that's
holy
not bad.
Like, get me to Bosnia.
Was that in a burger or they were separate to the burgers?
They were separate. They were sold up like fries or something.
Like a
and
side.
So we just kept going back. Yeah. Where else can you get crumbed prawns at McDonald's?
Oh, my God. Like, stuff the little packets of apples, you know, the cut apples that you can get as a side. Give me some deep fried prawns and stuffed olives.
That's
what was the olives stuffed with, Rose?
Cheese.
Okay, that's enough. Rose, thank you. Matt from Little Mountain, which McDonald's and what did they have?
Good morning, guys. I went to Osaka about 20 years ago and had a tofu cheeseburger.
A tofu cheeseburger?
What?
Was it called a tofu cheeseburger?
Oh, I forget now what they called it, but
tofu burger.
Ahead of their time, you'd say, Matt.
Just a pad.
Was it enjoyable, Matt? Did you like it? Would you recommend that we bring some of these options here to Australian menus?
Personally, no.
No. Okay. Okay. All right. Moving on. Margie from Windsor. Hey, Margie.
Hi, Margo.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. Which McDonald's did you visit and what was on the menu?
I went to McDonald's in Nuremberg in Germany and I had a Nuremberger and it had tiny little German sausages, sauerkraut and mustard.
Are you talking at McDonald's?
At McDonald's and it's called a Nuremberger.
Nuremberg.
Nuremberg.
And there'd be a well, is that where a hamburger came from? Hamburg? Yes, I guess so. Yes.
I guess, yeah.
Never thought about that before.
Where did the hamburger originate? From Hamburg, maybe.
Hey, Margie.
Tiny little baby German sausages.
Thank you for calling. Got a Christmas ham from you for Rody Meats are going to deliver that. Rody Meats family owned award-winning butcher based in Stafford Heights.
She could have a hamburger.
Hamburger.
A ham.
Good on you, Margie. Well, very clever, aren't we?
Thanks for your
call. Thank you.
Big breakfast. This is Triple M.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Feel the heat with a night at the Big Bash. Don't miss a moment of the big hitting action this season. Tickets selling fast at brisbaneheat.com.au.
We missed Wally Lewis's birthday yesterday.
Oh, how remiss of us.
I know. Happy birthday,
Wal.
And then I find out it was Robert Irwin's birthday, but thankfully.
Same day.
Yeah, same day. 1st of December every year. And thankfully we have the microphone that we can place anywhere. I actually have the recording of Wally going out of his way to contact Robert Irwin as a fellow birthday.
Channel 9 is so good like that. Was it a special on the Channel 9 section? No, they tried to do sport.
They tried to keep a lid on it, but Wally's so brilliant that he rang Robert Irwin to wish him a happy birthday. Nice. And Wally does love singing, so of course that featured as well.
Hello, Robert. It is me, the uncle of Queensland, Wally Lewis. And on this wonderful day where legends are born, I wanted to wish you a happy birthday. Your father was a great man who died the way he lived, with animals in his heart. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you, Robert. Love, Wally Lewis.
Oh, it's nice.
Slightly awkward, but that was good. Thanks, Wally.
Such a good guy, Wally.
When Wally sees me, I'm going to be in so much trouble. That's not me, though.
It's not you.
That was Wally.
It was Wally. It was
clearly.
We got the recording.
Off the news.
Yeah.
Triple M, it's the Big Breakfast.
So he does it. Love singing.
Marto, we were just talking to Craig Lowndes about Bathurst, and then during Def Leppard, you were telling me you've never been because Corey, my husband, was supposed to be going this year, but they ended up cancelling it because it got pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. Now it's too close to Christmas and we're going to be away, but you said I've never been to Bathurst.
2015, I was supposed to go and the rug got pulled under me right just at the last minute. It clashed with footy. Fox Sports. Anyway, I don't want to talk about it.
And so obviously we heard the accounts of the great seven-time world champion Craig Lowndes, Bathurst champion.
Look, he's upset.
You know, about his time there, but you've never experienced time
there
before.
Has Corey gone two times? Or
no, about five or six.
I wonder he's still married.
well, you did have a theory that if someone's been to Bathurst three years in a row,
means you're a single man. I don't know.
It's the only trip he gets as a boy. You know, he doesn't do fishing trips. He doesn't fish. He doesn't go on golfing trips. He doesn't golf. Bathurst is like his one thing where he and all of his mates, they go down for 4 days and they have a great time.
I see the bloke who's running, what's his name, Sean Seamer, I think, the boss of supercars. He's going, there's a lot of spare places because Queenslanders aren't coming down.
Coming down.
Yeah. Apparently heaps of Queenslanders go down each year, which I figure means heaps of our listeners go down.
Mm.
And then I start reading about the riots back in the 80s. Have you ever heard what used to go up on top of the hill there at Mount Panorama? The cops had this little fort up the top there, 12-foot high wire fences, and they'd retreat in there when the bikies... Oh, well, there was all sorts. It wasn't just bikies. It was just
People
went wild up on the hills
burning
there after
stuff.
Race.
Like a mob.
Burning stuff, circle work. There used to be cars burnt. There was all sorts of things going on up there. And I just want... What have I missed?
Yeah.
I'm sure some of our listeners have been to Bathurst. What happens there?
Yeah, 133353.
Has Corey ever told you? No, what happens
at Bathurst? I think what happens at Bathurst stays at Bathurst. Yeah. I've seen some photos.
I'm sure there's
it's not pretty.
The statute of limitations.
It's just men, you know, they don't shower, they just eat meat and drink beer, they smell.
They bury beer.
They get drunk.
Do they really bury beer?
They just pass out at the end of the day because they've been track or up on the hill, they're all dirty.
Pets.
messy.
Sounds great.
Sounds awful.
So you want to know what really goes on at Bathurst.
What happened at Bathurst?
Well, no, just some funny, some good stories. It doesn't have to be disgraceful or disgusting. I want good ones.
All right. Got some Brick Lane Draft, by the way, to our favourite callers this morning. You can find it at your local Dan Murphy's.
You can bury that.
Bury that at Bathurst. 1-3-3-5-3.
Some blokes this weekend, right, like the Savo, are going to bury some beer in their backyard and dig it up on Sunday morning. Go, it's just like beer. Just like beer.
All right. Let Marto know what went on at Bathurst.
Dave from Sunshine Coast. G'day, Dave.
Good morning. How are we, guys?
Yeah, good. Have you stayed on the mountain, mate? Have you been to Bathurst? Tell Marto what he was missing out on.
And you?
Oh, mate, you missed a treat. It's Marto. Oh, I actually went in the year 2000. We drove down, camped on top of the mountain. When you actually, back in the day, when you go up the hill, you've got to check in and get your site permit. There's actually a little sandwich board back in the day with a list of rules that you cannot do.
Yes.
Number one was no fireworks. Number two, no glass. Three, not burning cars. I'm thinking, we're in for a weekend.
Gee, tough.
Anyway, we get up to the campsite. We get out of the car to the sound of fireworks going off. we kicked about four tons of glass stubbies off our sites we could set up.
Yes.
Within an hour of us being there, someone being down to Bathurst, flogged a TD Gemini and proceeded to, two sites home, proceeded to turn it into a convertible via using an axe.
Oh, my
that
God.
That night, it actually got burnt. One of the nights we woke up about 2 o'clock in the morning to squealing tyres.
Oh,
there's a bitumen stretch up the grounds up there. There's a guy in a HQ ute. He just did a burnout about 150 metres long, turned around and come back again until the wheels blew and he put a new one on and off he went again.
So it's a real cultural event up there.
Oh, mate, it's huge. It's like nothing else I've ever experienced.
Oh, my
goodness. Back in the day, I don't think they'd be able to do it now.
Yeah.
But to the top 10 shootout, there's a little, an official station on the opposite side of the track. It's just before at the top of the incline.
Yeah.
During the top shootout, what the boys would do, they take it in turns. When the car went across the first time, the first lap, they got to shotgun as many cans as they could until they come round again.
Back. And then, oh my God.
Then they'd walk across the track and the next guy would go across the track and do the same thing.
Oh, that's Australian of the Year type material. Dave, cultural ambassador for Bathurst.
Thank you,
Dave. Thanks, mate. That's a magnificent wrap up.
Got someone coming through at the moment.
Got some bloke from Logan who reckons Bathurst, he's been maybe, to Bathurst. Margo?
Good morning, Corey.
Morning, guys. Morning, guys. How you going?
How many times have you been? 5 times. Corey Parker,
yeah,
hey, everyone.
Five times. Massive Supercars fan. Yes, I've probably done Bathurst in every way possible. I've done the drive down for 24 hours, sleep in the car overnight, drive home. I've done the camping. I've done stayed in this pretty dingy hotel with 4 grown men with 4 just
bunk beds.
So that was that was interesting. But the best way to describe Bathurst is grown men with kids, so family men that go down there and think they are 18 again. So all those stories you heard about cars burning and all the like are 100% correct. But one of the memories that sticks in mind for me is the old wizard stick. Do you know what that is, Marta?
No, I don't. The wizard stick.
So the wizard stick is every beer you have or can or drink or refreshment you have, which is alcoholic, the next one you get, you then gaffer tape that one to the next one. So you can imagine over a couple period, if you Google wizard sticks, Bathurst,
So is this just like 20 cans, like gaffer taped to the other and you're drinking from the top one, but there's 20 below it
100%
that are empty?
Yeah, yeah. So your wizard stick could be, I've seen some that are astronomically long, particularly when you're there for 4 days. But one of the great places on earth.
All right, maybe next year, Marto.
The wizard stick. I'm looking that up straight away.
Marto, maybe we should get a Triple M sponsored trip to Bathurst and Corey could take you down and show you the ropes, perhaps. And we could take a heap of our listeners with us.
Oh, yeah. Now we're talking.
Now we're
one thing about Bathurst is what happens at Bathurst stays at Bathurst.
That's why nobody else rang.
Well, how did you? Well, why did you tell us about the wizard stick?
Well, that's a little one I'll give you there. Just Google wizard stick Bathurst and see what comes up.
Enjoy.
Some of the pop up mobile bars and barbecues and all that are quite astronomical.
Well, I know you've been watching Bathurst. It started for you on Tuesday, so enjoy the weekend, mate.
Thanks, mate.
Bathurst 2022, the Big Breakfast. Here we come.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Marto, big news. I want to go overseas. We're going international waters here. Barbados has become a republic, Marto, the youngest, newest republic in the world. They've separated ways with the monarch and said, hey, you know what, we're going to look after ourselves from now on. Hey, thank you very much. And, of course, they had a big, beautiful ceremony where they announced that the Prime Minister was now going to stay in her position of power and become the president or whatever, the prime minister, I don't
president.
Know, something.
Yeah, no president.
She's going to become the president of the country. And it was all really, you know, well and good. None of that stuff really matters because you know who was there?
Who?
Rihanna was there.
Prince Charles was there is probably more important.
No, I don't care about Prince Charles. We care about Rihanna.
On behalf of a grateful nation, but an even prouder people, we therefore present to you the designee for National Hero of Barbados, Ambassador Robin Rihanna Fenty. May you continue to shine like a diamond.
Oh, she done her homework, the Prime Minister. Yeah. She said, shine bright like a diamond. Yeah. May you continue to do that.
Oh, good on
of
you.
Course, referencing one of her songs, Marto, which I'm sure you're familiar with.
What? Shine bright like a
diamond. I know we don't play a lot of Rihanna here on
quiz?
Triple M.
Is she the one that does all the single ladies? All the single ladies, all the single girls, whatever they say.
No, that's Beyonce.
No,
Rihanna does this one.
I know this song. Is this Rihanna? So she's
Ella,
from Barbados.
Ella,
Mitch in the morning.
What's this song about?
You might play this a little
What's
bit
this
later.
Song about?
Umbrella. Stand under my umbrella. I'll keep you safe
Is
and
it
out
concept?
Of the rain.
It's like a bubble while COVID's on.
Perhaps. You did mention.
No, hold on. Is she the best thing that's come out of Barbados? Is that what they're saying?
I think she's the only thing that's come
out of
Barbados.
Didn't they have some good cricketers and a couple of sprinters or something?
Well, she's the designee. I think she's the most famous Barbadosan. What are they called?
Not that.
Barbadian. Barbadian. But you did mention Prince Charles, and yes, he was there.
From the darkest days of our past and the appalling atrocity of slavery, which forever stains our history, the people of this island forged their path.
That's exactly what the British did. They took them all as slaves and went back to England. And that's all their best athletes are all sons and daughters of slaves.
They
that's
did
amazing.
Show some imagery on the news yesterday of Prince Charles falling asleep throughout the ceremony. I think he put himself to sleep with his own speech.
It wasn't while Beyonce was singing.
That woke him up, Marto. His own speech put him to sleep, I think. It's just like, all in the world.
7-18.
What does Katy Perry do? Which one's she?
Nah, she's,
she kissed a girl and she liked it.
Yeah, that
completely they're all the
different.
Same. They're all the same to me.
I'll play it to you during the ad break. You'll love it, Marto.
Triple M's Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Hey, did you see all the news last night, Margo? They had mega walls, you know, when they send their reporters out to different places.
Because of the floods, of course.
They're all over the joint. They're all over it like a cheap suit.
They love a weather thing, don't they?
They do. And it's good for the reporter. If he's got rain hitting him, it's even better. The worst thing that happens is that's a sunny flood, what we saw yesterday. Blokes are out west and they're reporting full sunshine, but there is a little bit of flood water and it's not flowing all that. That's not the great. Like, they want
to
be
dry, washed. Shoes are wet.
They want to be hanging on to something while wind's blowing them and stuff. Anyway, I was watching it and I love some of the eyewitnesses. Don't you love, especially when they head out to Western Queensland or head up north, the eyewitnesses are the best.
I just hope it doesn't get much higher because the flooding that it causes in the shops is it's a big thing.
Big thing.
It is a big thing.
Big thing. They're understated, aren't they? Like this old fella.
Flood water, what was it like?
Wet and cold.
Wet and cold, right, okay. Yeah, if you could.
It's accurate, short and sweet, to the point.
If he was in America, yeah, there was water everywhere. Yeah, you know how they're...
I've seen it.
They've got such better eyewitnesses than our
wet cold.
And cold. All right, but let's take it. Let's take it seriously.
Sandbagging? Are they sandbagging out there, Marto? There's nothing like sandbagging in the hot, you know, sweaty,
filling bloody sand. While you got your orange overalls on to the SAS, I feel so sorry for those buggers. Wear something shorts and a singlet and stuff like that.
Weather appropriate.
A lot of
lot of messages yesterday. Flooded, forget it. I know we occasionally have a bit of a giggle and go, oh, I have a go, but that's not.
Don't listen to us.
There was some serious stuff yesterday. There were a couple of cars. There was a bloke died. So there was some serious, and there was this young fella. He had a go. This is the bloke with the dog. He got stuck.
Another close call in central Queensland. A 23-year-old fined after deliberately flooring it through floodwaters and avoiding road closures west of Baralba.
Now, these days, you shouldn't ever.
No, forget
and,
it.
And we've learnt too many lessons. But in the old days, you'd always go around the barricades and go, I think I can have a go at that.
I can make that, surely.
You've been involved in that. This is, I'm talking about old days, okay? Everyone's done it. But when have you had that moment? Can somebody tell us what's it like? I've never been had the tyres leave the road and you see the videos, whether it's up north across the, you know, some of the rivers up in Cape Trib and stuff like that. When your tyres have left the road and you've started to be swept away. When you are no longer in control, might even be aquaplaning, but that moment where you are no longer in control of the car,
it's a pretty scary feeling, even just the aquaplaning.
Oh, God, yeah.
But being swept up in floodwaters, that's something else. I mean, I'm sure all of our listeners are very responsible, Marto.
These days, I would never do anything.
Because
if it's flooded, you forget it. You don't even think about it these days. But in the old days.
So happened.
Yeah. Tony from Whamurang, can you help people out a little bit more and tell them what happened when you nearly got swept away?
Yeah, back in the about 88, 87, you know, where before they did the overpass at Granard and Ipswich Road, it was just flat straight through.
Where are we? Rock Lee.
Yeah, Rock Lee, yeah, Granard Road and Ipswich Road, before they did all the overpass and
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, back through there. Well, I think Dad used to work at the Rock Lee Markets, so I had to pick him up from the old Markets Club, and he was absolutely off his chops.
Yeah.
And we're driving home, and it's bucketing down, and we're coming through, and the coppers had stopped everyone. They're only letting trucks and V8s through, and I was driving Dad's HJ Holden.
Hold on. Why V8?
If you floor it, Marto, you'll get through.
Yep. So what they did was... they let a truck through, and then they would let a car through behind the truck to spread the water. But the old truckie, he's decided to floor it, and I'm like in low gear in a T-bar auto, and the water is coming around, hitting the front of the car. It's up over the bonnet. I had to wind the window up, and just as I'm getting to the end of it, I can feel the front wheels lifted, and I'm thinking, oh no.
Oh, go on.
Because I had me in the car, my dad in the car, I had my sister in the car.
Oh.
These days, the coppers wouldn't even think about it.
Yeah, I can't believe your old man wasn't driving in the old days.
Before they bought the RBTs in, he'd drive home from there to Gale.
Be careful, Tony. Kitty's listening. Thanks, you're a champion.
Thanks, Tony.
Rob from North Quay, is it? Rob?
Yeah, g'day, how are you?
Yeah, good, mate. What happened? Did you ever nearly get washed away?
I didn't nearly get washed away. I did get washed away.
What happened, Rob?
I got caught in a flash flood in Thailand.
Water over the bonnet.
Yeah. Car floating down the road, filling up with water.
Yeah.
It sank. Had to walk out through waist deep water. The next day, they found me semi-conscious in my bathroom with an E. coli and staphylococcus infection from walking out through the filthy water.
Jeez.
10 days in hospital.
Yeah.
2 days in intensive care. $12,000 hospital bill.
How much for the rental car? Did they charge you for that?
No, unbelievably, they didn't even bat an eyelid. They gave me a new car the next day. No problem.
That's just a good weekend in Thailand, it sounds, Rob.
Oh, yeah, it was pretty awful. It gets better.
Yeah.
I've had problems with my legs, with my left leg ever since, with the residual infection. 5 years later, I ended up losing one of my toes from that incident.
Still had a parasite or something, Rob, did you?
Well, it was just the infection got into the bone.
Yeah.
And it, just over the years, it kept coming back and back, and I couldn't work out where it was. And
which toe did they take?
The second toe on the left foot. But prior to that, I had the infection in the leg, and I had to go into the hospital, have antibiotic injections every day. And I go in one day, and the bloke says, "Oh, yeah, we're pretty well finished. You know, this will be the last time you come in." Then he takes the shoe off, looks at the toe, pulls out a scalpel, no anaesthetic, just opens up the big toe and starts cutting out bits of bone.
And you haven't got a Peter Pointer on the left. On your left foot.
No. Can't wear pluggers anymore, can you?
Can you wear pluggers? No.
Can't grip it.
I suppose so. Oh, that's terrible.
That's terrible, Rob. Right.
Yeah, so going flooded, through life as a masseur guy.
Flooded, forget it. I reckon Rob's taught us all a really good lesson.
Took a twist, that photo.
Everyone learn. Don't go to Thailand. Hey, in amongst all the cut and thrust of the Canberra political games that they play, Margo, yesterday they brought them together with what they're calling the Kmart Australia wishing tree. I don't know if you saw it, but Albo came along and he had a whole trolley full of presents.
Yes.
Apparently it's a big thing. You can donate and kids, less
yeah, we
disadvantaged
do it at,
kids.
We do it at our place.
Yeah, well, disadvantaged kids get them yes. all, and that's great. So Albo came along, Barnaby Joyce was there as well, and then ScoMo was there, okay? And I know I got a bit of surprise because I've got the photo, I've tried to enlarge it, see what he had, but the simple fact is ScoMo explained himself what he had brought. So he walks along and they're trying to encourage other Australians to do the same thing. This man's running our nation, okay?
Merry Christmas. I brought the Gravitrax.
Watch the Gravity Spheres fly through the air.
That got me through quite a few lockdowns this year, I got to tell you.
Gravitrax?
Ever heard of Gravitrax? I've looked it up.
I'm sure Mr. Toys Toy World has it, Marta, if anyone wanted to get themselves some.
I'm sure they
do. Gravitrax.
Well, have a look up. It's a combination of gravity and tracks, and what you do,
really?
you build well, Gravitrax.
Genius.
I know. Advertising agencies, aren't they clever? So you put together the track, and it's got, the start is higher than the finish. That's how gravity works. And you drop a marble down, so you build the track, and it goes curving around. You can do all sorts of things. Yeah. You can go meters. You can get the next Gravitrax Pro and everything like that.
Oh my goodness, look at this thing.
I'm saying it.
Look it up. If you're look it up. It's
just see grabber. The PM
not
just
grabber. It's grabby.
This bloke's running our country. He's got two daughters. So what was he playing with? Oh, maybe he was playing with them during the... Have we got better things to do? Or did he walk in and they said, here, grab that, pretend you played with it during the lockdown. Is that what actually happened? Because Albo, on the other side, Anthony Albanese.
What did he have?
He walks in.
What was he promoting?
He walks in and his trolley, you could see this big unicorn. So he had a big fluffy unicorn. Okay. But then he started to take the mickey. He had a fire truck, a toy fire truck, referring back to ScoMo. Remember when he said, well, I don't hold the hoses back in the fires.
He was in Hawaii.
He had a submarine.
Of course,
next to the Eiffel, toy Eiffel Tower.
They're just like big little kids, aren't they?
And a build-your-own solar windmill. and he popped them down with this little smirk on his face. God, they're idiots.
At least he's
got
a good sense of humour, old Albo, doesn't he?
Well, he has. That's the day after he said this.
You sit down, Buffett.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
Hey, Margo, did the workplace rock up yesterday and went out to Seats R Us. I've always wondered about that business
because
they advertise.
You hear them on the radio. Yeah,
that's right. And I always go, God, that's because we have a lot of truckies listening. My old man was a truckie. Your old man was a truckie. So I always think so important seats in a car and a truck, etc.
Find the seat to suit.
So I get out there. I met Mark. He's the general manager. But Len, his father-in-law, started the thing. He worked at Mack Trucks. You know, Mack Trucks with the big bulldog on the front. Worked there for 20 years. And while there, he went, you know what? I think I could probably specialise in doing some seats.
My back's pretty stuffed.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he wasn't a driver. He was working at Mack Trucks for truck drivers. And I think he probably saw them all get out of the rig, go, oh, Jesus, and went, oh, I think I could do
driving
it better.
Driving for long
what
periods.
What do they call it? Ergonomics.
That's right, yeah.
Ergonomics is that the art of making your workplace more comfortable.
They sit on a ball or something. Yeah.
Well, no,
not the trucks.
You should see these seats. They're incredible. Anyway, I'll let Len, because I reckon it's one of the greatest names, because you know you see some businesses and go, wonder what they do. And then you see Seats R Us and go, I'm pretty much onto it. This is Len speaking. Len started this business, I don't know, 30 years ago, after 20 years at Mack Trucks, and then he went to Seats R Us.
Seats R Us.
Yeah.
What was it before that? American
truck trim. We were Jindalee motor trimmers.
And then one night, what happened?
Well, we changed what we do. And what happened then is things changed and we started doing a lot of American, we called ourselves American truck trimmers.
Yeah.
Because we do all the interiors of Macs and stuff like that, Kenworths, all that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But what happened, that's all changed now. There's no soft trim, it's all plastic. So we changed again because
you were wasting
we
your
then
time.
Went to seats. We become synonymous with seats.
I did an hour tour of their factory and all their workshops and everything, so I'm imposing this all on you, okay? if I had to do it, you've got to come down the same rabbit hole. They're a great bunch. I saw how they cut it all out. Like, they're like sew it. Like, yeah, Cass, a bit of a seamstress.
Upholsterers.
They do, yeah. I'd never been in this situation before. It was great. And then we started talking about, was your dad skinny-ish or was he a big unit?
Big unit.
Big unit. My dad was pretty skinny, but then he got bigger. The Bay Marees, that's what happens with truckies, the Bay Marees take their toll. Mm. And we were talking about how seats had to get bigger.
Weight restrictions?
Some of these seats take 200 kilograms.
Bloody hell.
Yeah. This is what goes on. And because a lot of the, well, I'll let Len tell you.
South Sea Islanders, Tongans,
the Polly boys, yeah.
They're big build, they're muscly and big. They go run 160 to 180 kilo. The seat that we bring is comes from Germany, which is called Grammar, and they've got a range that goes up. We've even got a little forklift seat that will take 170 kilo person.
That's a big man on a little forklift. You should see. The seat goes down, it weighs you. I was in their foyer, they got about 100 seats, truck seats, just dotted around the foyer, and you can just
springs
bounce.
Springs and cushioning and all sorts. You see Marto like a kid at the,
I bet you, it'll be on our, what's our Instagram or Facebook.
Yeah, we'll find
they
it
were taking photos. It was the most fun you could have, well, sitting down. It was bloody terrific. Good on your seats, R.S.
Margo, there's some cricket talk for you a bit later on as well.
Oh, yes.
It's a big breakfast.
We got it all.
Hey, by the way, if you want to visit from the Big Breakfast, the Tasty Fresh Lunch Van, because that's what it's all about. It's about feeding the crew there at Seats R Us yesterday. If you want the Tasty Fresh Lunch Van to come to you, just register triplem.com.au.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.